Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Shalom, everyone. Be very quiet. Can we do it again? Shalom.
Shalom.
Awesome. Awesome. And to those online, shalom to you, wherever you are. And lovely to be with you all. Thank you, Megan. Oh, yes, I must take it off. Okay. Right. Thank you, Megan, and thank you to all of you for inviting us back again, Celebrate Messiah, to share a little bit about our own story, I guess. that story is ongoing, as is yours. So it's a real blessing to be with you. Shalom is a lovely word, and you use it on every Sabbath. But actually, you use it every day. As a Jewish person, it's a greeting. So you would say, you know, shalom when you greet somebody. And when you say goodbye, you also say shalom. Do you know why we do that? Sorry?
See you again.
See you again. Okay, that's good. That's good. Sound of peace. Okay, that's also good. The truth of the matter is we don't know if we're coming or going, so we just say shalom. Okay? Tim, I wonder, could we get that, there we go. Awesome. And I've got to remember, I've got the clicker here, and that's going to, and I can point it in any direction. Yeah, it works. You know, I wanted to show you a little bit about the Jewish community here in Melbourne. Melbourne has the largest Jewish community in Australia. And, actually, the Jewish community here in Australia has been around for quite a while. Actually, it came with the first fleeters. So that's when the Jewish community came. I love doing a bit of research just going through things to understand, you know, what's happened before. I don't come from Australia. I come from South Africa. My wife and myself, we're from South Africa originally. And so I love doing research, you know, and things like that. But the first fleeters, in the first fleeters, the captain of the ship in the first fleeters didn't have a civil ceremony. They had to kind of be betrothed in other ways, and he married a Jewish lady. Quite interesting. And of course, there were Jewish people on board that ship. If you go to Hobart, anybody been to Hobart yet? Okay. And then there's a really old synagogue there. And you go into the synagogue, you wouldn't even know it's a synagogue from the outside. It doesn't even look like one, but it is. And when you go in, you'll still see the stocks where people's feet had to go in to attend a service so that they wouldn't run away. Right. So that's all part of history, and even Jewish history right here in Australia. Here we are in Melbourne. Melbourne has got a long, continuous history of Jewish people. And in that little red area there that you can see on the screen, that's where quite a lot of synagogues are. There's actually more than 45 synagogues in that area there that you see. And we live towards the pointy end of it, where Albert Park Lake is. That's where we live, and so we are surrounded by very, very religious Jewish people. We are Jews, my wife, myself, my children, and we are part of a messianic Jewish community here in Australia, especially in Melbourne, because this is where we are based. And so we are a little bit different to the rest of the guys over there, and they don't know what to make of us. You know, we have lots of interesting conversations, and you know, things carry on and so forth. But nevertheless, we are there. So that little red circle there—that's where we have our center. It's called Hamakaz. That means the center. Just very easy. And if if ever you come on if you have a Saturday morning that's free, you're welcome to visit with us and come and do some dancing and the whole deal. We love, we love to worship the Lord. It's just beautiful. So, the Jewish community. Wow, What a community we have. But that's not what I want to speak about. I just wanted to give you a bit of background and so forth. I want to share with you this morning, of course, the Sabbath and the kingdom of God, which is a beautiful topic. And I would like to explore the overall meaning of the Sabbath and how it relates to the coming kingdom of God. This message will not answer every question that you may have on the Sabbath, but instead what I hope to do is to give a more bird's eye view of the Sabbath and its meaning for believers today, both Jews and Gentiles. Gentile is not a derogatory word in any way. It means nation, or Gentiles, the nations. We, my wife and I, growing up in Jewish homes, some of our fondest memories are celebrating the Sabbath. In our grandparents' or our parents' homes each week, we can still remember the sweet aroma of grandmother's cooking. It was always a very special time. As our extended family got together around a beautifully decorated dining room table with all the best crockery. Okay, the silverware came out there. And cutlery that was laid out. It was a time for family, for joy and laughter. We are grateful to our grandparents for passing on this wonderful tradition. Now, as believers in Yeshua, that is Jesus' Hebrew name, on Friday evenings, our family looks forward to our Shabbat dinners together. We use this time to pray together, to repent of any sins we may have committed that week, or any offenses that we have caused, and to give thanks to our Lord for his wonderful provision and blessing upon our lives. Then on Saturday, we attend our Messianic congregation, Hamakaz, that you saw there in Caulfield, and that's for our worship service. We have two services on a Saturday. A Jewish tradition states that when all Israel as a nation keeps the Sabbath, the Messiah will come. Whether or not the rabbis who postulated this position literally believed it, it demonstrates how important they deemed the Sabbath to be. So today, I would like to explore the three purposes of the Sabbath. Firstly, it is a reminder of God in creation. Secondly, it is a reminder of God's covenant with Israel. And thirdly, it is a reminder of the kingdom to come. And so, you know, if I don't move along here with my pointer, please let me know, all right? Just say, Barry, you're falling behind. Okay. So it is a reminder of God in creation. Shabbat is, of course, the seventh day of the week, and it begins at sundown on Friday night. So our day, the Jewish calendar, right? Our day begins in the evening because we go according to a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar, right? Why at sundown? In Jewish teaching, the day begins at sunset. This comes from the account of creation, as the Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 5. You are welcome to go in your Bibles. If you haven't got them, don't worry about that. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. The Sabbath ends once there are three stars in the sky on the Saturday evening. The word Shabbat or Sabbath primarily means to cease or desist, and first appears in the book of Genesis. And that's where we're going, right? Did I do that? Oh, wonderful. Tim, you my co-pilot. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Oh, heavens. Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. It says the following. Can you please read? Okay, let's read, all of us. Thank you. The Sabbath day is given a special status by being blessed and set apart, sanctified by God, and as it was on the seventh day that he completed all his work of creation. God's rest on the seventh day does not mean that he was tired and needed to sleep, because I do regularly. Rather, resting is more like taking a step back and enjoying the work that has been done. I'm sure you guys have done that as well. The Sabbath is a testimony to the nature of reality, that is, that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Yamim, okay, in Hebrew. And he rested on the seventh day, Yom. The word Yom can be taken as a 24-hour day for an age. The Sabbath is the first and central appointed time, Moed is an appointed time, in the life of Israel. It is unique as a weekly celebration, whereas all the other Moedim, all the other celebrations that we have on the Jewish calendar, are yearly celebrations. So there's 7 yearly celebrations on the Hebrew calendar. Thus, the Sabbath is a memorial of creation integrated into the weekly cycle of life to reflect the example set by God. Leviticus chapter 23 verse 3 says, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work, whether you live, wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. Now, that's a really incredible verse right there, because when you come to the holy land of St. Kilda, where I live, there on Carlisle Street, right? And Friday, kind of late afternoon, you will see all the Jewish yeshiva students. A yeshiva student is a Bible college student, okay? He learns the Bible all the time, or she learns the Bible all the time. And they will set out a card table there, and they'll have phylacteries there, the phylacteries that you put on your forehead and in your arm and things like that. And there they will invite Jewish people to come and say the blessing for the Sabbath, blessing for the home, blessing for everything, really. And it's quite beautiful. Thereafter, everybody will deceased, not do any work, literally, go to their home, and of course, this wonderful time of Sabbath enters into your life, where the parents, mostly Jewish men, will go to the synagogue with the grandchildren. Mom is at home, and of course, when everybody comes together, the candles are lit, and a beautiful time begins in a Jewish home. If you come to Carlisle Street at that point, there'll be nobody around. Literally nobody around, you know. So you will see that it literally takes effect in every Jewish home. If Jewish people are going to go to synagogue, they will walk. They won't use their car because that is lighting a fire, petrol, and so forth. So you don't do anything. You literally, you know, that's how it starts. It's really a lovely time. God designed the Sabbath as a reminder that He rested on the seventh day and as a day for us to spend, time with Him. As God rested on the seventh day, so we are to enter into rest. God wants us to remember that He is the Creator, and of course we are to rest in Him. Some Christians might call Sunday the Christian Sabbath. However, this is technically incorrect. Sunday is never called the Sabbath in the Bible. In fact, the word Sunday never appears in the original text of the scriptures. It is called the first day of the week. That's what it's called. See Matthew chapter 28 verse 1 for that, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 2. This is the biblical way of reckoning days of the week. All days are counted in relationship to Shabbat. First day, second day, etc. Giving further evidence of the centrality of this day to Jewish people. Since Shabbat means to rest, that's literally what it means, to rest, a large part of the purpose of this important observance is restoration. From the ancient Greeks to the modern corporate executive, mankind tends to become obsessed with work and getting ahead. There is always more to do. Yet without proper rest and refreshment, human strength and creativity, they fail. In His infinite wisdom, God told the children of Israel to recharge. Just as my, as this tablet is recharging here. It needs to recharge themselves physically. That's what people need to do. We need to recharge physically, emotionally, spiritually. God demonstrated this principle when He created the universe. Rabbi and philosopher Abraham Herschel, he says this, and we have it there. Thank you, Tim. 6 days we live under the tyranny of things of space. On the Sabbath, we become attuned to holiness in time, a day on which we are called to turn from the results of the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world. The second principle I want to draw out here is the Sabbath is a reminder of God's covenant with Israel. Sabbath was first instituted by God to remember His act of creation. And that because He rested, so should we. However, as the story of the nation of Israel developed, Shabbat took on another important meaning. And we find this now in Exodus chapter 31, verses 16 to 17. Do I have that there, Tim? I don't have that. Do I? Yes. Thank you so much. Friends, can you please read? Now, this special day, the Sabbath, was a permanent sign signifying that God set apart, that is, made holy, the nation of Israel. It reminded the nation of her unique calling and responsibility, and this is why it was taken so seriously. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, it says, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work, wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord." Now, the weekly Sabbath is also a time to remember. And In Hebrew, this means Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Exodus from Egypt. The Exodus from Egypt symbolizes the birth of the Jewish people as a nation. Remembering the Exodus is thus considered as a special blessing, a mitzvot. It was during the Exodus that God taught Israel an important lesson about the Sabbath and his provision for our lives. The Israelites needed food in the wilderness, so God provided manna. What is it? What is manna? Every morning, that was the bread, right, on the ground, and there was quail every evening. They were told, gather manna 6 days a week, but not on the seventh. On the sixth day, God miraculously blessed their efforts, so what they gathered was in fact twice as much as what they needed for one day. And so God provided for the Sabbath rest. Exodus chapter 16, verses 29 to 30 says this. Do we have that one? Thank you, Tim. Friends, please read. Thank you. God provided a double portion of manna on the sixth day so that the children of Israel would not have to gather food on the Sabbath. And so it was through the Exodus that God taught his people to trust him, to have faith in him. It was by no means of the Exodus God redeemed for himself a people and gave them a unique calling and destiny. The third principle here, the Sabbath, is a reminder of the kingdom to come. Family, or should I rather say finally? Finally, family, what, with that in mind, the Sabbath is a reminder of the age to come. The age to come. To fully understand the future aspect of Sabbath, we need to first explore the notion of priesthood. The concept of priesthood is foundational for understanding the call of Israel. The call of Israel is to function for humanity in the essential priestly role before God for the sake of the redemption of the world. That's exactly what a priest ought to do. As part of God's covenant with Israel, he calls them to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And you can find that in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And this is what Exodus 19, verse 6 says. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. What does it mean to be a kingdom of priests? Of priests and a holy nation. What is the role of a priest? A priest is a mediator between God and man. A priest brings God to the people and the people to God. And so, as a priestly nation, Israel was called to represent all the nations of the world before the Lord. Out of all the nations of the world, God chose the nation of Israel as his representative nation. Out of all the tribes of Israel, God chose the tribe of Levi to be his priests. And out of all the families in the tribe of Levi, he chose the descendants of Aaron to be the high priests. What we need to understand is that all of the priest's functions in the tabernacle and then later in the temple during the holy days were acts of intercession on behalf of not only Israel, but also all the nations. So if you have a look at one of the seven celebrations that we have and a year, which is called Yom Kippur, That is the Day of Atonement. That on that day, we don't just make atonement for ourselves in synagogue. It's on behalf of the whole world. Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, the same thing appears, which is really beautiful, rejoicing. It's one of the most wonderful celebrations you could ever have. If you've never been to a Sukkot festival, you want to go to one. You will see that God calls in his family. And when I say his family, I'm saying the entire world, you know, people from every nation into this beautiful sukkah, which is a tabernacle. And of course, it's a beautiful picture of what's to come, because we are going to celebrate that festival with the Lord in the kingdom to come, the festival of Sukkot. So now bearing Israel's priestly role in mind, let's go back to the story of the fall of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and as a result, the ground was cursed. Now, through the sweat of their brow, and they would toil to bring forth fruit from the earth. Economic survival would be their severe trial. Sometime later, God allows Abraham's descendants, the nation of Israel, to become slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt for 400 years. As Adam was a slave, so too was Israel a slave to Pharaoh, working the ground by the sweat of his brow. But through the Exodus, God delivers the Israelites out of bondage and gives them the Sabbath as a weekly memorial of their slavery. But he teaches them not to be slaves to the economic forces again, but to trust him to provide and bless, to bless them as they stop their work on the seventh day. God provided a double portion. Thus, the Sabbath is a declaration that our provision is in God and not from this world. The Sabbath breaks the bonds of economic domination by resting one day in seven. Israel declares that the economic realm will not be the determining factor in their lives. What is true for the priestly nation is also true for all of the other nations. The universal principle is that if we take one day in seven, God will abundantly provide all our needs. This teaches us that at least one seventh of life should be given to worship, fellowship, celebration, and restoration. Of course, with the other designated times, it is much better or much more than one seventh when we add in Sabbath years. We see that Israel was called to an extraordinary level of faith in God's provision instead of working in bondage to economic realm. Again, rabbi and philosopher Abraham Herschel, he says this: 6 days we wrestle with the world, wringing profit from the earth. On the seventh, or on the Sabbath, we especially care for need of eternity planted in the soul. The world has our hands, but our soul belongs to someone else. Someone else in big letters. And here is the priestly act. When a Jew keeps the seventh day, or the Sabbath day, he is proclaiming that the God of Israel is the creator, that he is Lord over all. The existence of the Jew and the Sabbath proclaims God exists, God exists, God exists. The world is not the product of time plus chance plus matter, as in the theory of evolution. No. It is not the product of an unknowable, vague, pantheistic force. It is not the product of gods of nature, no. The Sabbath is both a profound testimony and a form of intercession that releases power toward the universal confession of the lordship of God over all the earth. So, when Israel keeps the Sabbath, week after week, and let me tell you, if you have ever been to Israel, I know some of you have, but if you ever go and live in Israel for a while, you'll get used to this so quickly, because everybody does the same thing. As the priestly nation, it is representing the whole human race. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. You know, the re-establishment of the nation of Israel is not an accident. It didn't come about by man's will. It was God who re-established the nation of Israel once again in 1948, and still keeps her. The weekly Sabbath is an act of intercession, a representative act on behalf of all the nations of the world. Israel's calling as priests to the nations also teaches us that a Sabbath rest is a sign of the will of God for all peoples. It is God's intention that all be liberated from the bondage of slavery, both literally, externally, that is, and spiritually, internally, from the soul bondage that destroys our peace and happiness. The book of Hebrews tells us that there is a special Sabbath rest for the people of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Do I have that one, Tim? Thank you, brother. Can you please read, friends? So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience, carry on to say. The kingdom of God in our lives brings rest and shalom, peace. As God's people, we can rest in the knowledge and that our redemption has been won through the work of Yeshua on the cross. We now have peace with God, and we can cease from our fleshly striving to please him. Since we have an eternal salvation through Jesus our Messiah, let's make every effort to enter the eternal Shabbat even now. By being reconciled to God and living by the power of his Spirit, enter into the rest of faith. The kingdom of God is here right now, but also not yet. As the theologians say, we can experience peace with God now, but there is also a future peace for the world that we are all still waiting for. Thus, the Sabbath is a foreshadowing of the age to come and the universal promised land where we will all live in the peace and rest of God. The Hebrew word shalom is a key term, defined as wholeness, peace, and well-being. When I first visited Israel in 1987, I attended some yeshiva colleges there to hear what the rabbis were saying, and one of the teachings was on shalom, on this word shalom. And the rabbi said, you know, the word shalom means more than just peace. It means peace in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, and of course in your body. The Sabbath foreshadows that one day all nations will enter into God's rest. Sabbath observance is an intercessory action for the sake of all nations, releasing the power of God to move history towards this goal. There is an interesting teaching in the Talmud. The Talmud is a massive work of writings. Some of the sages viewed the 7 days of creation as a broad outline for human history. Now, as the scripture says in Psalm 90, verse 4, this is what the scripture says. It says, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You've heard that before. They compared each of the 6 days to a millennia of history. We are now in the year. What is the year on the Jewish calendar now, guys? Come on, help me out here. 5, 7, 8, 8. 5, 7, 8, 8. That's where we are on the Jewish calendar. We are quite advanced at the moment. We're well ahead of the game here now. Okay? According to the rabbis, we are in the 6th millennia of human history. Think about that for a moment. Different rabbis offered differing opinions, but they generally agreed that the Sabbath, the day of the Sabbath, corresponds to the 7th millennium. The 1,000-year messianic era, which they poetically call day that is altogether Sabbath. Day that is altogether Sabbath. Wow. The Sabbath rest for the people of God, spoken about in the book of Hebrews, could be alluding to the 1,000-year rule of the kingdom of God here on earth. The book of Revelation also speaks of a coming millennium of peace, 1,000-year reign, Messiah during which the adversary is bound in chains. And the Apostle Peter reminds us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And I don't know if I have that there. Do I have that there, Tim? Yes, we do. Thank you so much. This is what the Apostle Peter says. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. Whether you believe in a literal 1,000-year rule of the Messiah, or understand it allegorically, we all should be eagerly awaiting the soon coming of the Messiah to initiate that 7th millennium. 1,000-year era that is altogether Sabbath. And as we say in Hebrew, may he give rain to his kingship in your lifetimes, in your days, and in your lifetimes of the entire family of Israel, swiftly and soon. And we all say, Amen. The Sabbath and the nations. Finally, we make a comment about the Sabbath and the nations. The celebration of the Sabbath is a part of the irrevocable call of God, a gift to Israel. It has been part of God's covenant order for Israel and is part of her ongoing life today. Although the Ten Commandments are mostly universal in application, the commandments are in the form of a covenant given to Israel. This is shown by the words that begin the covenant, that God is the Lord that brought Israel out of Egypt. And you see that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, which says, And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. The Sabbath is specifically a covenant sign given to the nation of Israel within this covenant document. While there is no hint that Gentiles during this age have a covenant responsibility, the Sabbath day will become universal in the future kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23. Do I have that there, brother? Isaiah? Thank you. Can we please read? However, there is a commandment that the Gentiles during this age have such a covenant responsibility. In this age, Other people are free to join us in Sabbath celebrations, but they are not required to the seventh day Sabbath as their responsibility. So let me repeat, should Gentile Christians keep the Sabbath? Well, you are not required to do so. However, you are free to do so if you would like to. The Sabbath is a taste of the future kingdom of God, of peace and rest. As a Jew, Yeshua kept the Sabbath week after week. Although he didn't always agree with the rabbinic laws of Sabbath keeping and often came head to head with the legalism and tradition. On one such occasion, Yeshua said in Mark chapter 2, verses 27 to 28. Please read. Thank you. Yeshua taught that the Sabbath was given for the benefit and well-being and not for our bondage. Human beings have been made with an inbuilt need for one day a week of physical rest and spiritual restoration. That is what I call the Sabbath principle. And God has built this principle into the very laws of the universe. Just as the laws of physics are real, so is the Sabbath principle. I can guarantee you that if you work 7 days a week, every week, you will become eventually very ill and spiritually backslidden. We did not, you know, why did God send Israel into captivity in Babylon? Why did he do that? Because they failed to keep the Sabbath principle. And when they were in captivity for 70 years, the land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. You can see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 verse 21. There is a principle built into each of us. We cannot work 7 days a week. You must take one day of the week for physical rest and spiritual renewal. Eugene Peterson, he says this. Do I have his? Thank you so much, brother. An accurate understanding of Sabbath is a prerequisite to its practice. It must be understood biblically, not culturally. A widespread misunderstanding of Sabbath trivializes it by designating it a day off. Sabbath is not a day off, and it is inexcusable that pastors learned in Scripture and guardians of the sacred practices should so misname it. A day off is a bastard Sabbath. Days off are not without benefits, to be sure, but Sabbaths, they are not. However beneficial, this is not a true Sabbath, but a secularized Sabbath. That's the words of Eugene Peterson. Well, Yeshua also taught that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath in everything you do. Thought, word, and deed make Yeshua the Lord of your lives and the central focus of your faith. If you do this, you can't go wrong. Yeshua hu Adonai. Yeshua is Lord. Amen. Thank you, friends. You've been very patient today in all of this. And it's such a blessing to be with you all. I believe we are entering into the best days of our lives. Don't let anything else tell you different. I'm telling you. God has not forgotten who you are, where you are. And he will provide each and every one of your needs. I say this because I see it happening before my eyes. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you his peace, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah and soon and coming King. Amen. Amen. Thank you.